Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, folks. In this episode, you're going to find out about Paul Taylor's life now that he's the father of a newborn baby. How's the baby doing? How are Paul and his wife coping? What happened during the birth? How has Paul managed to create an entirely new one-hour comedy show while also moving house and dealing with the madness of parenthood? How does he feel about it all? What exactly is making him angry this time? Listen on to find out. The episode is sponsored by iTalki, which is the perfect solution if you're trying to find the right one-to-one teacher to help you develop a particular set of skills in English so that in the future you can say in your perfect Liam Neeson accent, I have a particular set of skills, skills I've developed over a very long career as a learner of English. I don't think Liam Neeson is a teacher on iTalki, but you can check. You never know. Remember that when you buy some talking time, when you find Liam Neeson and buy some talking time with him so that you can learn to speak like Liam Neeson, then when you found that person and you've paid for some talking time, iTalki will send you a voucher for a free lesson. And it's not by post. They don't need to know your address. They're not like, I don't know who you are. I don't know where to send the voucher. It's all done by email. So anyway, the voucher usually arrives a couple of days after your first purchase. To get that offer, go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. Now, it's still not time for the jingle yet because I want to make an announcement for any London Lepsters listening, any Lepsters in London. Calling all London Lepsters. Following on from the success of the last LEP meetup, there's going to be another one in London. The date is Saturday the 28th of September 2019. That's this year. Just in case you were wondering what year it is. It's 2019 and that's when this is happening. Saturday 28th of September. The venue is the same as before. The Fitzroy Tavern, 16 Charlotte Street, Fitzrovia, London, W1T2LY. And the time, 6 p.m. The Fitzroy Tavern is a classic old London pub. Various writers, famous writers and acclaimed people have spent time there famously, including George Orwell, the man who wrote 1984 and Animal Farm, amongst other great work. Now it's the location of the LEP meetups in London. You can get drinks and food. Zdenek Lukas is organising it again with his board games, and I think some of the gang from the last meetup are going to return, but new people are very welcome too. So if you just fancy coming down to the pub and joining in, then you're welcome. There will be games, friendly conversation and laughs, and a good chance to practice your English and make some new friends with like-minded people. Saturday the 28th of September 2019, the Fitzroy Tavern, W1T2LY at 6 p.m. Right, so that's it for announcements and things. Let's get straight down to it. And here is the jingle. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hi, folks. How are you all doing? Yes, you're all doing fine. Good, good. And how about you there? Yes, yes, you. Specifically you. How are you? How's that thing that's been bothering you a bit? How's that? Has it cleared up? How did that thing go? You know the thing you had to do? Did it go okay? Yeah. If you're driving while listening to this, then please keep your eyes on the road at all times. If you are running while listening, maybe for exercise or maybe in order to escape something like a bear, then keep it up. Don't stop running. If you're walking somewhere, don't forget the old combination, right foot, left foot, etc. If you're sitting still, then I hope that you're nice and comfy. Good. Now the conditions are right. Let's continue. So Paul Taylor is back on the podcast. I've been wondering what title to choose for this episode. I was considering Baby Update with Paul, but I thought that sounded a bit boring and flat. Then I considered calling it Down in the Dumps with Paul Taylor, but that won't make much sense until you've heard the next episode. Having the right title on an episode can make all the difference. It's the thing that sort of entices people to actually click the play button and listen. Most people probably just listen regardless of the title, but nevertheless, the title is vital as the most direct way to market the episode to your listeners. So it's something that I find myself scratching my head over sometimes. So that's why this time I've gone with the most clickbaity title I could think of. Paul Taylor became a dad, and you won't believe what happened next. That's exactly the sort of title you get on those annoying online articles that you somehow can't resist clicking on. So there it is. Now you will have to listen in order to decide if the you won't believe what happened next part of the title is justifiable or not. But that's it. The title is an experiment in clickbait and a sort of an ironic joke too. So anyway, to get straight to the point, this episode is about Paul's experience of becoming a father for the first time. For this episode, I originally had a plan to do an idioms game with Paul, which would involve us talking and trying to naturally add some idioms into our conversation. But I forgot to introduce the game at the start of the episode, because as soon as we started talking, we just immediately went flying down the rabbit hole of Paul's like baby news. And I only remembered about the card game until about 10 or 15 minutes in. So anyway, no idioms game. That's going to be in the next one. And this episode is slightly shorter than normal, which makes a nice change, I suppose. That's because after half an hour, we decided to start doing the game, and I've decided to make that another episode of the podcast, which will be the next one, in fact. So an idioms game with Paul is coming up in the next episode, which means that this episode is basically a catching up chat with Paul, focusing on life as a new dad. You might have heard the episode I did nearly 2 years ago about the arrival of my daughter. It's episode 502. In that one, I talked to my wife about what happened when our baby arrived, what it's like, how the baby's getting on and everything. My wife and I are lucky in that we had no major issues. The baby was born healthy and happy, and in the weeks and months afterwards, we enjoyed the experience of having a third member of the family with us, and it felt all loved up and sweet. But it's not always like that. It depends on the child and the situation you're in. One thing's for sure, though, having a baby is a bit like a bomb going off in your life, in a kind of a good way. It can cause quite a lot of difficulty, chaos, and fatigue in ways that you don't expect. So this time, it's the turn of Paul Taylor and his wife, and I will let you listen to Paul describing his experiences of looking after their newborn, what happened during the birth, and whether it has been a fairly easy ride so far, or on the contrary, something of an exhausting ordeal. In any case, I would like to wish them both a hearty congratulations, but let's now find out how Paul's been getting on with all of it. Your job, as ever, is just to try and keep up with the chat and see if there are any new words or phrases you can spot. It might be worth revisiting some of my other episodes about having kids, especially ones in which I explain all the relevant vocab. Episode 162 was all about that. And also, in fact, there's a list of episodes on the page for this episode on my website below. You'll find a list of episodes that relate to things like the topic of having children and vocab explained. All right, then. So without any further ado, let's find out how Paul's been getting on. And here we go. You ready to start?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Let's start then. So Paul Taylor's sitting next to me. How are you, Paul?
Oh, hello.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, it's been a while, isn't it?
Yeah, do you remember the last time?
No, I don't. You ask me this every time. I know I was with Amber.
Yeah.
And it was downstairs in your kitchen.
That's right.
And I don't remember at what stage of my life I was. I know I was going to become a dad.
Yeah.
But I don't know how far, I don't know when it was. When was it?
So, first of all, we talked with Amber about sleep.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then the two of us talked together. Oh, how am I going to find out the date? It doesn't matter when it was. But yeah, we talked about becoming a dad and about how it changes your life. And we had a deep and heavy and meaningful conversation about it all.
Oh, yeah. It's coming back now, yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, now you're back. So that was probably about a month, maybe a month and a half before the due date for the child.
Yeah.
And so here we are now post birth.
Post child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just, you know, how's it going? How is everything? All right? It's okay?
Yeah, it's all right.
All right.
It's just all right. Yeah, it's not really... If I sum it up, if it was a product, if it was the new iPhone 11, the new iPhone 11 just came out, right?
Yes.
If I was to buy the new iPhone 11 and after 3 months it still wasn't working, I'd be angry.
It's not 3 months though, is it? It's about 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
What is?
Since your daughter was born.
10 weeks,
yeah. Is it now? Okay, yeah. So...
2.5 months.
2.5 months.
Yeah, if I bought an iPhone, 2.5 months later, it still wasn't working, I'd be pissed.
What, she doesn't work?
She just doesn't work. It feels like we've got a third cat that's more annoying than the other two, that requires more attention all the time, because there's not a lot of interaction. She smiles now and again, but she spends most of her days crying and whinging like a French person, like a Parisian.
I was saying to you earlier that she's basically you, because she wakes up at about 11 o'clock. She's basically grumpy during the day and she's all right at night.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes she shits herself. But yeah. Exactly like you then, basically.
Yeah, exactly. She's got the same hair colour, same eye colour, same skin colour as me.
Yeah.
The same attitude. I don't know what she's got of my wife yet. We'll figure that out. Well, I mean, she's got the vagina, so...
She's got your wife's vagina. I'm not sure quite where to take that.
No, she has a vagina, so she's a girl.
I see. Right.
She has the feminine sex.
Yeah, but she didn't necessarily... Does she inherit that from your wife?
No, but I mean, that's the only thing that's similar to
because
her.
Now,
what I mean is, she's basically exactly like me,
yeah.
Except she's a female. So
right.
That's the only thing that she's got in common with my wife, is that she's a female.
I see.
Everything else she's got in common with me.
I see, okay.
Wow,
what an interesting sort of disaster that is. That a female version of you?
Oh, God. I don't know,
it's probably an improvement, probably.
Well, it's got to be, right? It's a female and a French version of
me. Wow.
So, I don't know. It's difficult. It's been a...
Has it been difficult, really?
Yeah, it's been rough, yeah.
Really?
It's been the worst 3 months of my life so far.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's
Yeah, but
rough.
Normally when a dad has just become a dad, normally they say all these beautiful things about how it's a miracle and it was amazing and beautiful. And no, it's just a nightmare, the worst three months of your life.
For now, yeah. I mean, people have told me... Oh, did it just... Is that your little cable?
That's the cable, I think, maybe doing that. Oh. Let's carry on. We'll see how we get on.
Yeah, it's... I'm just going to put it on the desk so then it doesn't drape down.
Good idea.
Drape down?
That's what she said.
I don't even know if that's English.
Mm-hmm. It'll drape. Yeah, that's
drape
good.
Down,
it,
yeah.
The,
okay.
Yeah, the cable will drape down if you don't put it on the table. Listen to him doubting his English.
I don't know. It came out naturally, and then I was like, I haven't... whatever.
When you come on this podcast, maybe your English gets called into question.
Well, yeah, because I know it's an English podcast and I'm English, and so I know that people might be analysing the words that I'm saying.
Yeah.
And they're, well, because even on a non-English learning thing, which is my vlog that I do on YouTube, I get comments all the time about, oh, why did you say that? Isn't it supposed to be that? And because
this is from French people who've learned English by studying grammar books,
yeah,
or whatever,
exactly.
And they hear you speaking natural. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
English, and they're like, but yeah, I get that a lot too.
Yeah, I imagine you get it more than me because you're an English teacher, so your teach is, you know, it's called Luke's English Podcast.
Yeah.
Mine isn't called Paul's English Vlog. It's just me doing my comedy stuff,
right,
or behind the scenes of the comedy.
But a lot of people
use my videos to learn English because you know, well, as you know more than I do, people like listening to native speak and not just robotic scripted.
Yes.
Material.
True.
So, drape down. Anyway.
Drape down. So, anyway, the worst 3 months of your life?
Yeah, so far, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's not...
Why?
It's just difficult. Because you don't know what to do. Like, I think one of the most frustrating things is that the health professionals, whether it's pediatricians, whether it's osteopaths, whether it's... in France, they call it an ORL doctor, which is something to do with the sinus,
ear, nose, and throat.
Yeah,
yeah.
They've all got different, and even the midwives and the health. They all have different things. You know, you have a problem,
yes,
and they all give you conflicting advice. So it's really frustrating.
What's the problem?
Well, we don't know. That's it. She cries a lot, and no one knows why. And they're like, "Oh, it's the colic. She's got colic."
What's that?
I found out, because I didn't know what the English word was, because I'd heard colique in French, and I looked it up in a dictionary. Apparently, we do say colique in English.
Yeah.
I learned lots of English vocab through having a baby in France.
Mm-hmm.
Microphone still...
You learned a lot of English vocab through having a baby in France.
Oh, is it because the microphone, the headphone...
Is that it? Do you want to swap... Wait, listeners, if the headphone cable touches the microphone cable, we're wondering if that makes a noise, but I don't think that makes a...
Oh. Yeah, a little bit. Oh, I think it's this.
When the microphone touches
the coily bit,
the headphone.
What kind
cable?
Of a professional podcast is this? That's right. I won't touch the cables.
Yeah, that's not very comfortable for you, though, is it?
Hello.
You have to make sure your arm doesn't drape down. Wait a minute. The colic. Yes. What is it?
Yeah, colic is. It's the general term for babies crying. In French anyway, they can either have a sore stomach, it can be crying in the evening as the sun sets, there's a whole bunch of different, there's no definition of what it is, and there's no way of making it better. They don't know what it is, and they don't know how to make it better. So they try and give you, the thing that it changes all the time. Like initially, it was clear that she's got digestive problems, because when she's eating or at some stage, like she's wriggling about, crying, trying to push, and get, you know, essentially having trouble pooing and farting.
Right.
So you know,
we've all been there.
Exactly. I'm still there.
She's inherited it from you as well, obviously.
So yeah, it's just difficult. Like when you've got a kid that's just screaming the whole day.
Yeah.
In all honesty, for the month of August, it was, so she was born the 28th of June.
Right.
And then we moved house on the 25th of July.
That's
one month
nightmare.
Yeah, we moved.
You had to move house.
Yeah.
A month after your child was born.
Yeah, we moved house. That was a mistake. So that didn't help. So July. The first month was all right. I mean, it was new, so you don't really know what's happening. You know, you don't know what to expect. You don't know what anything means. You're asking yourself questions.
Yeah.
Do we feed her? Have we fed her too much? Do we keep feeding her? Has she slept enough? Has she eaten enough? She hasn't shit. Is that a bad thing? Like, what's how? Yeah. It's you're just asking yourself a million questions. That again, different people have different opinions, and it's really annoying. Like, what was the example that I used the other day when somebody was asking me this, and I was like, oh, the different, like fingernails, right?
Fingernails,
yeah. Like within the first couple of days, like we woke up one morning and she scratched herself,
right? Yeah, yeah.
She was bleeding on her face because her fingernails. She came out with really long fingernails.
Yeah,
so. I don't know. One of the midwives were like, oh, what you need to do is you need to put mittens on, like little gloves. Mm-hmm. So she stops scratching herself.
Yeah.
Then another doctor came in and was like, no, you shouldn't put gloves on at this stage because they need to be feeling their environment. So they need to have naked hands.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense, but you know
naked
what I mean?
Naked hands.
Their hands need to be free to touch the environment around them, especially the breast, if they're breastfeeding. Like they need to feel things, so don't put gloves on. We're like, cool, but if we don't and she scratches herself, what do we do? And another one was like, oh, what you can do is you can file the nails. Not cut them, but file them, because they're too soft. You can't cut the nails. They don't cut. They're too soft.
Yeah.
And so they file the nails. And then somebody else was like, no, don't file the nails, because they can get... in French, the word is panari. I don't know what they're called in English. When you, as an adult, when you cut your nail and it gets infected and it's all red.
Oh, you can get a sore nail.
Yeah.
You can get like a...
look it up in a dictionary.
Swollen cuticles or...
Yeah, exactly. And so that was just for cutting the nails. That's just one... problem that
Jesus,
we had that everyone had conflicting, because they're all different ages, you know, the midwives, the doctors, everyone's grown up in a different nail infection. It's called Whitlow
nail infection, that's it. Yeah, okay.
Whitlow.
But for us in our daily lives, it's just when you're the end of your finger or next to your nail gets swollen and red and painful.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then when you can, like, if you pull it open, a bit of pus comes out. Yeah. Anyway, so it's just this annoying thing of, like, everyone went to medical school at different times and at different recommendations. At one stage, apparently, they would tell people to have babies sleep on their stomach. that's what you should do. Then that became dangerous because some of them suffocated because they can't lift their heads up. So then they were like, definitely put them on the back. And then so it's just every generation, you know. And I'm telling my parent, I speak to my parents as little as possible, just because right now it's all problems, and they've got their solutions that they had 30 years ago with me, which aren't the recommended solutions now, you know. And it's just this frustrating loop of you don't know what's going on, you don't know how to make it better, and it's been rough. The month of August was easiest for me because I was doing my show. I was working, doing a work in progress of my. My new show that's starting in October, but I did 20 shows in the month of August, so four times a week for the 5 weeks. And so for the 4 days that I was performing, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the whole day up from midday I was out of the house because I needed to work on the show. I needed to get in the headspace. It was a new show, so I was writing. I was trying to find, you know, my way of writing a show because I'd never written a second show before. And the first show I didn't write Franglais, right? I didn't write it knowing that I was going to write a show.
You wrote bits.
I wrote 5 minute bits, 10 minute bits, did them on stage, and then after 3 years I combined them all together to make the show, and then wrote transitions that made sense between the different stories. Whereas this one, it was like I've got 1 month to do the same thing that I did in 3 years. So I didn't really know my writing process. So that was complicated. On top of that, and so 4 days a week my wife was at home on her own with the baby, dealing with her basically and crying the whole day, which is, you know, which was very difficult for her. So that put strain on the whole, you know, we're just in a not in a great place.
That's a pity.
It was good when you guys came over last weekend, because she actually slept a little bit, and I think it was because there was
interaction around.
And there was stimulation.
Do you take her out and stuff during the day?
We take her out when we can, when we muster up the courage. It's just, we call her a time-bending terrorist.
Yeah, really?
Because it takes... We wake up, at 10 or 11 once she's properly awake. And we're like, oh, great, we got... And before you know it, it's 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And we haven't even had a shower yet, you know, because, you know, we wake up, she's crying, we've got to feed her. Then we feed her, then she's all angry, whatever. Then the cats need feeding. They're all angry. Then once you clean the litter box, once we change her, we clean her eyes and her nose and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Dress her. Then she's hungry again. Or my wife has to then pump her milk because she doesn't, you know, she breastfeeds, but she also pumps the milk. That takes another half. It's 4 o'clock and we haven't even had a shower yet. We're like, fuck it, we're not going out now. Can't be arsed.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's rough.
It's a learning curve, right? I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Some kids just seem to, you know, sort of behave differently in those early stages. But like what people always say is that, you know, it things change with children. Things always change.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a positive thing that she's going to stop crying and
hopefully
being grumpy all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't wait until something changes because it's been 2.5 months of it feels like it's been a year already.
Yeah,
that's how, like, you know.
Wow.
But it's weird because you can talk about it as much as you can to people, and you can get advice beforehand where people tell you this is going to happen, that's going to happen if this happens, but it really, none of it, it all just, it doesn't matter until you actually go through it. It's really interesting. I guess it's a similar, well, it's not similar at all, but I remember before I started driving, people, you know, would tell me, oh, driving cars like this, you've got to find the biting point of the clutch.
Yeah.
You've got to do this and that. And it's only when you get in the car and you actually hold the gear stick and the steering wheel, you're like, oh God, this is nothing like any, it doesn't matter what people have said before.
Yeah.
It's everyone has their own experience.
The thing about driving, which I guess is similar though, is that you don't really learn to drive, even sometimes until after you've passed your test, do you actually sort of learn properly to drive yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Where you feel comfortable and confident that you are in control of the car and it's all your decisions and you can do what you want. I think maybe parenting is a similar thing, that it's going to take you maybe a little bit of time to just feel like, oh, we're going to do this our way. You know, we don't have to worry about asking everyone's advice and opinions. We'll just do, you know, what we think is right. And ultimately, that's the kind of, that's the position you want to be in, I suppose. You'll get there.
I always, I keep getting annoyed at my wife because she's just too many questions all the time.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh, do you think we should feed her? Do you think she needs this? Do you think I'm just like, I don't have the answers to your question. Stop asking questions. Just do it. Do what you feel like. We've just got to get on with it. Let's stop.
Yeah, your wife needs to trust her instincts.
Yeah,
a bit. I think that's a good idea. How about the birth? How was the birth?
Easy. Yeah. I mean the pregnancy was
easy. You didn't have to do it, so
no,
you could say it was easy.
But it was easy. Like, I honestly, we laughed because I had a, it was more, the labor was more difficult for me than it was for her. In the sense, she slept through all of it.
What?
She slept through. She had 14 hours of labor. She slept through all of it except for each hour when the midwife would come and check the dilation of the cervix.
Yes.
To see how far dilated she was.
Yes.
So then that's when she'd wake up. The midwife would come and she'd be like, yeah, cool, it's 2 centimeters or whatever. And then she'd leave and then she'd fall straight back asleep.
What, because she was on amazing drugs?
Well, she had an epidural.
Right.
So, and it was, I guess it was just a strong one. So she was out. And so for the 14 hours, I was sat watching her sleep. And also next to her was the baby's heartbeat.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't
and
it?
I couldn't sleep because all you hear is,
which is the sound of the baby's heart.
14 hours of,
yeah.
It sounded like people having sex above us for 14 hours.
Actually, it was the sort of the ghost of you and your wife having sex from nine months earlier.
God, it was. I mean, so she slept through all of it, and then at the end, essentially, she pushed 6 times.
Exactly. Can't do it. Hold on.
There you go. She pushed 6 times and she needed forceps.
Yeah.
Come out.
How many?
How many what?
How many seps?
Forceps. Forceps.
Right, sorry. Forceps, obviously, those things which, you know, midwives use to help children, babies come out. They're like scissors, but spoons.
Yeah, the way they describe it is like it creates a slide for the baby to come out.
Oh, really?
Like they don't grab the head. It's kind of like it opens it up and it just allows the baby to come out.
So they're not really like scissors, but spoons.
No,
they're more like slides.
But they look like they look like massive salad spoons.
Right.
Like if you buy a salad bowl and you buy this utensil, it's basically that, but more medical.
Right.
So yeah, and that,
like salad servers, but more medical.
Exactly.
Six times, and then.
So the birth was really easy. It was the after, really. It was the day that she gave birth was the heat wave in Paris. So it was 39 degrees.
39 degrees.
No air conditioning because air conditioning's bad for babies.
Oh,
because they might die.
Oh my goodness!
But everything afterwards was just really complicated. Sorry, I'll turn
tell me out. Tell me something positive though, Paul.
We need to
hear from your mouth some positive words about this. Like, she's cute though, right?
She's cute.
Isn't it nice when she holds your finger in her hand? No.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really
Paul's
happen.
Like searching in his soul.
No,
for, like,
it's given me 10 minutes of jokes.
Okay,
so that's the positive.
You got 10 minutes out of it already.
Yeah, probably.
I've got 0 minutes.
Really?
Absolutely none. We're by minutes, listeners. Obviously, we're talking about
minutes of comedy,
minutes of stand up.
It's funny because Bill Burr in the show yesterday, he's like, yeah, I've got no jokes on her.
I have no jokes about being a dad.
Really?
I've got one joke, but I've sort of stopped doing it.
Well, it's not really a joke. It's stories, right? It's like that's what I'm doing for my second show.
Yeah.
Is telling stories for a couple of reasons. One, I wanted to get better at telling stories on stage. Two, it's easier to not think of jokes, but to think of a story that's funny
and try
and make it funnier.
Yeah.
And number three, it's very difficult to plagiarize or be accused of plagiarism because it's your story. So it's happened to you. So it's difficult because I think for comedians talking about being dads, I think there's a lot of jokes that have already been said, right? If you're thinking about jokes, like set up punchline, they've all already been said, I think. Mostly, but if you're telling a story, so the story that I'm telling on stage right now is like the most horrific night that we had. in the process, it was about a month ago when I got back from doing my show, like at 1:30 in the morning, because I had a couple of drinks afterwards with my producer to talk about how the show was going. Got home at 1:30, all the lights are out in the house, but no one's in the bedroom. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? What's happened? And I went into the living room. My wife's in the fetal position next to the baby, crying. She's like, she's shit all over the bed. We can't sleep on the bed. Oh, God. And we've run out of water to make the bottles. We're fucked.
Oh, God.
It's like 1:30 in the morning. I'm like, oh, God, I can't. I have to find water.
She couldn't, like, just from your wife's point of view, if you've got a little baby like that and it does shit all over the bed,
yeah,
you can't really... like, just clean up the bed because you've got to look after the child.
Yeah,
so you've got to leave the bed and go and...
Yeah, she can't be taking the covers off and putting new ones on because the baby's crying the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, we've got no water to make the bottles for tomorrow morning.
Oof.
So I'm like, oh, so this is 1:30 in the morning where I'm typing in 24-hour supermarket. And obviously they're in Paris. So I had to leave the suburbs that we've moved to on my scooter at 1:30 in the morning to go find a petrol station that has a supermarket attached to it. And at 1:30 in the morning, you're probably going to die. You're probably going to get executed during a drug deal at 1:30 in the morning at a petrol station. So I run in, I get a pack of 6 bottles of water from the brand Vittel, okay, which is a type of water, it's a brand of bottled water. Mm-hmm. I go back home, the lights are all on, the baby's crying, the cat's crying, Addie's crying, everyone's hungry. And I start making a bottle for the little one, and my wife loses her shit because I didn't get the right water. Because Vittel isn't the water that you should be getting for babies because there's too many minerals in it. She's like, Paul, how many fucking times have I told you? You need to get a brand called Morocco, Morocco. And she's like, it's not complicated. There's like a baby's photo. There's a photo of a baby on the bottle. It's for babies. Go get that water because we're fucked. So I had to go back into the... This is the whole like situation where we ended up getting to sleep about 4:30 in the morning, and the next day I got woken up at 8 in the morning because the internet people were supposed to come. I'd forgotten they were coming at 8 to set up the internet, and because we didn't yet have our names on the boxes the intercom down the stairs, the guy walked in, didn't see our name and left. So we didn't have the internet, so I had to purchase extra €25 on my phone to do the hotspot thing. The insurance for the car wasn't through, and I suppose this all happened in one day where it was just
Jesus Christ.
So that's a story I'm telling on stage right now, and it works pretty well.
Yeah, that's pretty overwhelming.
So it's not that it's not jokes about being a dad. It's just here's a fucked up story.
Yeah,
and but the thing is, I don't know. Like, you know, when I'm writing my new show now, in a year and a half, if that joke's in there, like, how do I? Because I'm sure there'll be new stories between now and then that will be funnier.
Well, just replace and replenish. Okay, but still no single like positive reflection then from you, Paul. We need to hear something. We need to hear something good.
They've heard all the good stuff from you.
No, they haven't.
From when
they want to hear it from you.
There's nothing good right now.
Shut up.
Honestly, she smiles. That's cute. But most of the time, it's not the balance of good and bad is definitely skewed towards bad.
What about this? What about when your daughter burps? That's good, isn't it?
Well, it's good because I know that she's going to be in less pain.
Right. So I love it when my daughter she still does it a bit, but not as much as she used to.
At what age do you stop having to force burp them?
I don't know, really. I don't know. She still does it now.
Yeah, but she burps on her own now.
Probably after
you don't have to put her on your
I still
chest
do sometimes, but generally she'll burp on of her own accord.
Yeah.
Feeding her milk and then putting her over your shoulder and like tapping in her back and then a big burp comes out.
Yeah.
For me, I'm like, yes.
Okay.
Or when I've just got her on my lap and I'm reading a story and
she farts.
A big fart. I'm like, yes, get in. And at night as well, sometimes I'll go in her room because she's crying and I go in, I just rub her belly and she'll like go, and then a big fart. And I'm like, yes, now you're going to go back to sleep.
Right.
I love it when my daughter farts and poos and burps. And
well, when she's so small, but she farts like an adult. So when she farts, this is what happens in our house. When she farts, somebody will fart. Yeah. And then me and Addie will be like, was that you or was that her? And it's a constant thing of like, who's farted? Because they all sound the same. The three of our farts sound the same. And we thought that it would be a little bit higher, you know, because there's less space in her in her belly. So, but it's a deep like...
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got to try and enjoy these moments. if you can.
Yeah.
Cherish them,
People
Paul.
Keep saying that. Oh, it's good. Take advantage now because she'll grow up.
No, I'm not going to say that to you. I'm not going to say enjoy all this crying and stuff.
No, it's not enjoy. They're just like, oh, you know, take advantage now because they grow up so quickly. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait for it to grow up quickly.
I had the same feeling. I've never understood that when people say, enjoy it now while it lasts. It's like, no, I'm looking forward to her growing up even more.
I want her to, I want the interaction.
Yeah.
Because right now there is none
That's going to come, Paul. Don't worry. Because at the moment you're basically dealing with like a little sort
cat,
of like
an annoying cat that can't speak, that looks at you and then has a bit of interaction, that cuddles you sometimes.
Generally, for those who don't have kids, you know, basically a 2-month baby will look at you and bubbles of spit will come out of its mouth and it sort of struggles to move and stuff like that. And yeah, that can be frustrating, but it gets better, Paul, once she starts to interact. Like our daughter now is speaking and is doing funny things.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And she like this.
But she's awesome because she's yours and not mine. Like in the sense that like when you came around the other day, I was like, oh, she's amazing. And I was just like, oh yeah, but she's leaving now, so it's not like I want mine to be like that.
It's not always amazing.
No, that's the thing. And that's the other thing. It's like we've been going to the doctor. We've been to about 20 million different doctor's appointments. Yeah. We've been to a pediatrician in the month of August as well in Paris. Everything's shut. The pediatricians aren't around, blah, blah, blah. So we had different meetings. And then every time we take her to a doctor, she's smiling. She's happy. And so anytime she's out and meets other people, she's amazing. And so everyone's like, oh, she's so cute. She's adorable. It's like, yeah, but as soon as we leave, as soon as we do anything on just the three of us, she hates it. Maybe she hates us. I don't know. It's all right.
It's going to get better.
I'm waiting for it to get better.
Things are going
to
get better.
We'll see.
They might get worse, but like somehow. But I think they'll probably get better. You're going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay.
We'll just keep
going. Just keep pushing.
I'll just keep writing comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Just turn it into comedy.
I'll try.
Now, I've just realised...
Have you not been recording?
No, I've been recording.
Oh, okay.
Everything's okay.
Just realised we haven't been recording.
I was planning to play some sort of card game during this conversation.
Yeah.
And I realised maybe 10 minutes in that I hadn't done it. And then it's like, I can't stop it now. We've got to keep going until we've reached our conclusion.
How long have we been talking about?
About half an hour.
Okay.
So, is going to make it difficult for me to write the title of the episode. Because if half an hour in, the thing that's in the title of the episode happens, that's going to feel
too far out.
Yeah, it feels like I'm going to be mis-selling the content.
So should we just keep talking about updates and then do a second episode?
No, we're going to do it anyway. So what I'm going to do in the title is I'll call it something like, you know, baby update slash this thing that we're going to do too. So that's the end of this part. I just want to say thanks again to Paul and to wish him and his wife well. To be honest, it sounds like they've been having a really hard time with the baby crying constantly, which is horrible. When your child cries, it's a truly horrible feeling. It gets you kind of right in your soul, and it's like torture. It can be very tough to be stuck indoors with a crying baby all day, every day. It can kind of drive you round the bend. So I really hope it gets better soon, and it will, of course. You know, babies often cry in the first, you know, months or so, but it will get better. And then the two of them can start to enjoy parenthood properly. It can be tough having kids. There's no doubt about it. It can be horrible sometimes, but somehow the good things carry you through the bad things. I just hope they get to taste some of the good stuff soon, because there is a lot of joy in having kids. For me, it got much better when our daughter started interacting with us more. And now it's very funny and entertaining to have conversations with her. I hope Paul can enjoy that too in the near future. I must say, though, I'm very impressed that he's managed to come up with an entirely new 1-hour comedy show during all of this. That is very difficult, especially when your first show was developed over 3 years and was a big hit. Now he has to do it all over again, the difficult second album, they call it. But he's done it, a new 1-hour show, which is called So British or Presque, which is like saying so British almost. And you can see it at a venue called Flow in Paris from the 18th of October to the 4th of January. There are more details on Paul's website, paultaylorcomedy.com. Okay, so I mentioned the idioms game earlier. So you heard me
you heard there that I mentioned the Idioms card game that I had intended to play during the conversation. That's what's going to happen in the next episode, a game in which you can try to spot various common idioms in our conversation, and we'll explain and clarify them for you too. Just a reminder, you can check out previous episodes I've done about parenthood if you're interested in learning more vocab about the subject. There's episode 161, which was a conversation with a heavily pregnant Amber Minogue about what it's like being 8 months pregnant. That was the first appearance of Amber on the podcast. The following episode, 162, covers a lot of vocabulary relating to pregnancy, childbirth, and childcare. Then there's episode 502, which is my wife and me chatting about our experience. And if you remember, there are also several episodes with Ben and Andy from the London School in which they both prepare me and scare me ahead of the birth of my daughter. And there are links at the bottom of this page. On the subject of having children and learning English, I have received quite a lot of requests about doing a podcast about how to raise children to be bilingual. I guess quite a lot of you out there are having children too, and you really want them to grow up to be effective speakers of English. So what's the best way to achieve this? How do you bring up kids to speak another language, English in this case? This is actually a really complicated question, and there are many different situations in which this might be a concern. One parent, here are a few of the situations. One parent speaks a different language, but the family lives in the home country of the other parent, which is my situation, the same as many of my friends. And another one would be the two parents are from one country, but they're living in a different place now and bringing up a child there. Another possibility would be the two parents are non-natives living in a non-English speaking place. So let's say it's like a Polish couple bringing up their children in Poland, but they want their child to grow up speaking English. So how do you go about helping the child to learn English in those situations? Also, another question that people keep asking me is, how do I talk to my daughter? What are the sort of certain phrases or words that we use when we talk to our children in English? So this is actually a pretty big project, and to properly deal with it, I think it's necessary to perhaps get the benefit of qualified professionals who know about the various kinds of research into second language acquisition for kids and the ins and outs of bilingualism in children. So what I plan to do is interview my friends, first of all, about their experiences of bringing up bilingual kids. But I'd also like to take advantage of my contacts at the British Council and ask some of our staff for their professional opinions regarding bilingualism and how you can help your kids to learn English. So this is a podcast series that requires some preparation, but it's one that I'm going to start working on soon. In the meantime, I'm interested in your comments. If any of you out there has experience of raising a child to be bilingual, I want to hear from you. So let me know about techniques, experiences, challenges, methods, anything relating to bringing up kids who speak English. I'm particularly interested in success stories of bringing up a child to speak English when English is not your native tongue or the native tongue of your partner and you're not living in an English-speaking country. For example, as I said before, it could be Polish parents who maybe speak English a bit, maybe listen to this podcast, bringing up a Polish child in Poland to speak good English from childhood. So any success stories of that kind of situation, obviously it doesn't have to just be Poland, could be anywhere, but you know what I mean. So this might be you, but in a different country. So if you have things to say about this, then send me a comment or an email. Success stories, but also challenges as well, any of the challenges that you face. I'd like to gather together some thoughts, anecdotes, and tips, which I can then make part of maybe a future series. So have a think and get in touch with me via my website, teacherluke.co.uk. And then finally, London-based Lepsters, don't forget about the official LEP meetup happening on Saturday, the 28th of September, 2019. The venue is the same as before, the Fitzroy Tavern, 16 Charlotte Street, Fitzrovia, London W1T2LY, the time, 6 p.m. And just before we end, don't forget to do these five things. Sign up to LEP Premium via the website. You could subscribe to the website mailing list to get links to the relevant pages every time they're published. Download the Luke's English Podcast app if you haven't already done so. Check out iTalki for some one-to-one teaching. And you could consider sending a donation to support the podcast. People do. People, every now and then, I get little notifications on my phone saying that people have sent me donations. Thank you so much for your contributions. You help to make this podcast possible. It's because of my audience of listeners that this podcast is still going and has been going for more than 10 years now. It's due to the support I get from my audience. So thank you very much. That's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. The next one, as I said, will feature a vocab game featuring about 15 different common English idioms for you to spot and learn. That's coming soon. But for this episode, it's just time to say goodbye. Bye. 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 Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.